Tonight, I want to preach a follow-up message to the one I preached this morning. It's really not a part two. This morning, I preached on three things to remember. And I said, remember the things that God has done for you, remember God's word, and remember what others have done for you. Those three things, we ought to take some time every day, and we ought to make ourselves remember those things. Brother Dwayne, can you hear me? Can you hear me okay? Okay. That's right. I'll try to stay put. But we need to remember those things. We need to remember the things that God has done for us. And as I mentioned this morning, every good and perfect gift cometh down from a Father above. And every good thing in our life, and even the things that we might not consider good, but are there in our life and are working a purpose in our life as God works them together for good, come from Him. And we ought to praise Him for those things, and we ought to remember that they all come for Him. Just like the wonder of the love that He has for us, if we begin to take things for granted and we don't praise God enough for Him. I was thinking today, John mentioned to me this morning that he watched an episode of Little House on the Prairie. And, you know, back when they had TV shows that were sometimes worth watching. And I got to thinking this afternoon, I can remember my grandmother in the outhouse. And I got to thinking, we take indoor plumbing for granted. I mean, I know some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. I mean, because you never experienced the other. But that's a good example. I mean, we take it for granted, and yet when you go back and you remember the way it used to be, that little house at the end of the trail that in the middle of the winter was freezing and in the middle of the summer was hot. And we just take what we have for granted. And if we're not careful, that applies to everything in our life. I mean, it ought to just send a chill of amazement up our spine when we go and flip a light and the light comes on. I mean, we take it for granted. Everybody's got electricity. But, I mean, just think. We're out of the dark just by a flip of a switch. Same thing. We can go to the thermostats and dial it up or down, dial it down. It can be hot or cold. I mean, they used to have to chop wood. And in the summer, you know, it's like some of you were doing this morning. You just fan and fan and fan and go down and jump in the creek. And we need to remember that everything in our life, whether we would categorize it good or bad, comes from God. And it's in our life for a purpose, and He's working that purpose for good. Then we need to remember God's word. It is His word that tells us how to have abundant life. We don't find that anywhere else. I mean, the world offers up what they think is abundant life, but it doesn't last very long. It's for a season, the Bible says. And then the gold turns to dust, and there's no value in it. But the things of God last forever. They're eternal. And He tells us in this book how to have not only eternal life, but abundant life. John 10:10. I've not only come to give you life, but to give you life more abundantly. And God wants us to have that. And then I finished up this morning by saying, remember what others have done for you. And there's a slew of people in each of our lives that we ought to be thankful for, and we ought to remember and never forget what they've done for us. Now, tonight, I've entitled my sermon, One More Thing to Remember. And before you rub your hands together and say, okay, only one point tonight. He had 3 points this morning. It took him a half an hour. Chantel's like this. 1 point tonight. 10 minutes, we'll be out of here and on our way. Well, don't get so excited because I only have 1 point, but it's got 3 parts. And it may take me a while to make those 3 parts. But before you get blue and discouraged, I want you to know there's always somebody that has it worse than you do. My fraternity brother sent me a tape, and I don't know if I'm going to see him on Friday. I'm going to take him out to lunch, and I don't know if he was trying to send me a message or not. It was from a couple of weeks ago, their Sunday night service down in Ohio. And the title of I don't even know what the title of the sermon was because it wasn't on the tape, but it was a sermon on overeating. Overeating. It had 8 points on what overeating is and 6 points on how to avoid it. And the sermon lasted 45 minutes. In fact, I had to turn the tape over because it was only half hour tape. Turn the tape over. So before you get discouraged that I've got 3 points and it may take me 20 minutes or so, Somebody's always got it worse than you. You could have been in that church and have 45 minutes on the sins of overeating and how to avoid it. All right. We talked about this morning memories. How a memory can bring a tear or a smile. How a memory can recall a joy or a sorrow. And we talked about the things we ought to remember. My point tonight, the one more thing to remember is this. Remember to forget. Remember to forget. There are some things in our life that on purpose we ought to remember to forget. Three of them tonight. Number one, remember to forget past sins and failures. That's what Paul was saying in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Forgetting those things which are behind. Paul says, I'm going to choose to forget my past sins. I'm going to choose to forget those things that happened in my life before I got saved. Now, I will tell you, he did not forget them completely. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is forget them enough that you can go on and serve God and not be held down and held back by the ways that we failed him in the past. Paul said, I choose not to remember that I stood by when Stephen was stoned. I held the coats of those that threw the stones. I encouraged those that threw the stones. And I'm going to choose not to remember that. Although he included it in his testimony, when he was up before kings and before the common people, he said, I was the one that stood there when they stoned Stephen. He said, and I'm going to remember that, to remember where God has called me from, but I'm going to forget it enough that I can go on and serve God and not be dragged down by my failures of the past. He says, I'm going to choose not to remember that I persecuted the church, that I went into homes, I arrested Christians, I threw them in jail, I tortured them, I killed them, I thought I was doing right, I thought I was serving God, but when I came to meet Jesus, I knew I was all wrong. And he said, I'm going to remember those and so that I know where I came from. I'm going to remember those enough to say that God called me an apostle, the least of all the apostles, the least of any man that he called an apostle that he deserved it. But he says, I'm going to forget it enough that it's not going to hold me back. I'm not going to be in remorse all the time, and I'm going to go on and serve God. He says, I choose not to remember that on the very day that I was saved, on the very road when I was saved, that moment when I saw that light from heaven and I heard that voice from heaven, that I had papers in my pocket to arrest the Christians in Damascus. I had papers in my pocket from the church leaders that gave me the authority to go into their homes and arrest them and persecute them and throw them in jail and bring them back to Jerusalem so that we could try them and find them guilty and punish them for serving Christ. The very moment God spoke to me, Jesus spoke to me from heaven, and the very moment I got saved, I had those documents in my pocket. He said, I'll remember those just to remember what God called me from, but I will forget them enough that I can go on and serve God. Because, he says, if I remember them all the time, if I remember what I did, the guilt will eat me up. And I will not be able to serve God. That's the way Peter was in John chapter 21. He swore his loyalty to Christ. He said, Jesus said, all of you are going to forsake me. You're going to leave me. You're going to run when the trial comes. He was with them at the Last Supper there, and he was telling the future. He was telling them what was going to happen. He said, they're going to come and arrest me, and all of you are going to leave me. And Peter said, not me. I'm going to stand with you. I am with you 110%, Lord. And all these guys, I can almost see it. All these guys, as Peter points to the other 10, because Judas has already left, all these guys may leave you, but not me. I'm sticking with you till the very, very end. And then over in Luke chapter 22, here's what the Bible says. Then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou speakest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. I've tried to imagine what that would feel like. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Jesus was crucified. And here's what Peter said: "I don't deserve any longer to be a disciple. I don't deserve any longer to be an apostle. I denied him. I mean, he told me what was going to happen. He gave me warning. He said he was praying for me. He told me Satan wanted to sift me. And he told me that he was praying for me. I knew it was coming, and yet when it happened, I did exactly what Jesus told me I was going to do. 3 times I denied him." And so over in John chapter 22, or John chapter 21, one of those, he said, "I'm going to go fishing." And what he was saying, he wasn't just going to go on a little fishing trip for relaxment. He says, "I'm going back to the way of life I knew before Jesus called me. I'm going back to profession I knew before he said, 'Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men.' I'm going to go back to what I was doing before, he got into my boat that day and we launched out on the lake and I heard him teach and he said, 'Hey, Peter, cast your net over on the side.' And I said, 'Lord, we fished all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net.'" And he said in Luke chapter 5 there, he said, "We drew up the net and there were so many fish in it that the boat began to sink. I called my partners, James and John, and they came out and we filled their boat with fish and it began to sink." He said, "I don't no longer deserve to be named among his disciples, so I'm going back to that profession that I knew before he called me to be a fisher of men." And you know the story, those of you that have read the book of John. His guilt it was destroying him. His guilt, if it was allowed to remain unchecked, he would never be the one that would preach at Pentecost. He would never be the one that would stand before kings with John and say, "We can't help but preach the things that we've seen and heard," when they told him to be quiet about it. He never would have wrote the books that bear his name in the Bible. But you know the story. They were fishing. They fished all night and caught nothing. A man stood on the shore. They didn't recognize him. He said, "Children, have you any meat?" What he was asking, "Have you caught any fish?" They said, "No." He said, "Throw your net on the other side." And they threw their net on the other side of the boat, and they began to draw it up. And later on in the chapter, you read where they caught 153 fish. Pulled it into the boat, and John leaned over to Peter and said, "Peter, it's the Lord. It's the Lord." Peter put on his coat. He jumped out of the boat. He couldn't wait. Of course, I've often wondered what the other disciples felt. Yeah, he went to see Jesus. What about all these fish? Who's going to bring these fish that we caught? The other six of them, I think there were six of them that went with him, had to pull all the fish in. And Jesus had a fire going. He said, "Bring some of the fish. We're going to cook them and have breakfast." And he said, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yeah, I love you." And then Jesus said, "Go and feed my sheep. Go and feed my sheep." He asked him a second time, "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me more than these?" I think he was pointing to the boat and to the net and to the fish that they caught. "Do you love me more than these?" And Peter said, "Yes, Lord, I love you." Jesus said, "Go feed my sheep." Third time. I don't think it was a coincidence that it was 3 times. I think corresponded to the 3 times that Peter denied Christ. "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you." then go feed my sheep. And what Jesus was saying, Peter, I know you denied me. I know you told I told those folks in the hall there that you had no idea who I was. Forget it, Peter. Forget it. Go feed my sheep. I got a job for you. And we know what happened next. He was in that upper room. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He preached at Pentecost. 5,000 folks were saved. He and John were in the temple. They preached another time. 4,000 souls were saved. Peter said, I'm going to forget. Now, I don't think he ever did. But he forgot enough that it didn't stop him from doing what God wanted him to do. Every single person, if you live long enough, you're going to make a mistake in your Christian life. You're going to fall. You're going to fall into a situation where you'll say, I should have known better than this. I should have not fallen into this trap of Satan. I should have not done what I did. I know it was wrong. I knew it was wrong before I started. I knew it was wrong while I was doing it. I no longer deserve to be a Christian. And I'll tell you what, Satan will have his fan, and he'll be fanning that flame. Yeah, you go ahead and think that. You don't deserve to be a Christian, you sorry old cuss. And he'll remind you time after time after time of that thing that you did that you know you shouldn't. I'm so glad that we got a God of the second chance and the third chance and the fourth chance and the fifth chance and the sixth chance. You say, preacher, are you saying that we should go out and sin because we got a God that forgives us? No. I'm just saying that when we do, I'm glad we got a God that does. And he, like I said in the last couple of weeks, he always has an alternate plan. If we mess up the first plan, he's got a second plan. If we mess up that plan, he's got another plan. And he'll say the same thing to us that he said to Peter, go feed my sheep. Go tell people about me. Go preach. Forget about what the past. Don't forget about it completely, because you need to remember that you got a God that forgives and forgets. But forget about it so that it doesn't stop you from going on and doing what you need to do. So remember past sins and failures. Number two, remember to forget the sins and failures of others. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, the Bible says this, the Lord said, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Most of you have computers in your homes. And you know when you put something in a computer that it's there forever. I mean, even when you hit the delete key, even when you hit the erase key and you think it's gone, there are people that can come in and get your computer, and I don't know how they do it. It's magic to me. I have not been able to understand. It's magic. They can go in and they can recover all the files that you've deleted. All the things that you wanted erased, they can recover. God is not like that. When he erases something from our record, it's erased for good. And I don't care who comes looking for it, because you can bet the devil will come looking for it. He won't be able to find it. If you go looking for it, you won't be able to find it. If somebody else goes looking for it, they won't be able to find it. Because when God forgives us, when he puts our sin underneath the blood of Jesus Christ and he erases it from our record, there is no way that anybody, including him, can recover that record. It's gone. It's gone forever. 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 Nobody will be able to find it. Satan won't. You won't. I won't. God won't. Our record is clear. In fact, I won't go down very far this path because you've heard me go down it before. Not only is our record clear, but it's filled up with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He takes all our sin off our record and puts the righteousness of Christ on ours. Now, if God has chosen to forget my failures and your failures, If God has erased our sin record, if God has forgiven us, and if God has forgotten the shortcomings that we have, then we ought to be exactly like God the Father. We ought to be exactly like Jesus the Son. We ought to be exactly like the Holy Spirit, and we ought to forget them too. We ought to forget them too. We ought to forget them too. We ought not to hold them over people's head. We ought to forget them. We ought to forget them. You got to do it on purpose. I choose to forget. There's some things I choose not to forget, but I forget anyway. But there are some things I choose to forget. I was talking to a guy that used to go to our church, and he left several years ago. And he needs some help with something. And I was able to help him a little bit. And he said, I'm surprised. I said, why is that? He said, because you helped me. I said, well, why wouldn't I help you? I love you. He said, well, I'm just surprised. I'm surprised that you would help me. He said, don't you remember what happened? He mentioned something that happened a long time ago. I said, no. He said, yeah, you must remember because you were... No, I said, I don't remember because I chose to forget. And that's what we need to do to each other. We just need to choose to forget. Remember to forget. And then number three, we also need to remember to forget the good things that we've done, the past victories that's been won, and the past accomplishments. And again, I'm talking about forgetting them in the same way that I'm talking about the other two. Not forget them completely, but to forget them enough so that we don't live in the past. Our testimony ought not to be, I used to teach Sunday school, or I used to work in junior church, or I used to witness. Everything's in the past. I used to this, I used to that. And praise God if you got a testimony like that. I used to do that. But how much better your testimony was, I used to teach Sunday school, and I still do. I used to work in junior church, and I still do. I used to witness, and I still do. I used to read the Bible, and I still do. I used to come to church every time the door was open, and I still do. Bob Jones Sr., that great Methodist preacher that preached salvation by Jesus Christ, he said, we need to keep our testimonies fresh. We ought not to have to go back 5 years ago and say, hey, let me tell you what God's done for me. We ought to be able to say, let me tell you what God did for me yesterday. And what God did for me the day before. And what God... Now, we ought to be able... it's a wonderful thing to say, hey, let me tell you how God saved me. That might have been 15, 20 years ago. Amen for that. But don't have all your testimonies 5 years old. Don't have all your testimonies 10 years old. Don't have all your testimonies a year old. Have some testimonies that happened, like I said, last week, last month, a couple months ago. Because God... He's not just a God of things of the past. He's a God of today. He said, I am. I am. What's your name? Moses asked. I am. I'm the God of today. And so let's not live in the past. Let's keep our testimonies fresh. Here's the question. I'll close with this question. If today was the entirety of our life, if today was our whole existence, if at the end of this day we were going to stand before Jesus, would he say, based on today, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. If he was going to say that about today, if he was going to judge us for today, would he say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the simple truth that's in this book. Thank you for this thing called memory. Thank you that we can use it to remember the good things in the past. And Father, we can also remember the bad. And I pray you'll help us to keep them in balance. I pray that we'd listen to the Holy Spirit and we control our memory. I pray that we'd listen as he tells us what to remember and tells us what to forget, and we'd be obedient. I pray our memory would, the memories that we'd have would cause us to love you more. I pray they'd cause us to love this book more. I pray they'd cause us to love those that have helped us down through the years of our life. I pray that they would help us to love them more. But Father, I pray that they would not hold us back from serving you. I pray they would be a help as we serve you. So I pray tonight that you would control even our memories. Father, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, they'd understand that they're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. Jesus paid it when he went to Calvary. And maybe tonight the Holy Spirit's spoken to them about their need to receive Christ. And Father, I pray that they would do that. They'd make that decision to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.